Well, in the psalm that we just read, there was one kind of metaphor that really always stands out to me. And it's this person who's like a tree planted by streams of water who brings forth fruit in season. Goodness, I learnt this in the New King James, I think. Whose leaf doesn't wither and everything that they do prospers. And it's an amazing promise in the Bible, isn't it? And it's one we would do well to remember. Let's have a think about trees. Now, trees are one of the most amazing things that God created on this earth. Did you know that trees are the longest living organisms on the earth? They actually never die of old age. Did anyone know that? So they might be old, and trees do die, but it's always for some reason. They actually aren't capable of just dying of old age. They replenish themselves so well that that doesn't happen. Did you know that they drink about 2,000 litres of water on average a year? That's an incredible amount. And they're known, or our forests are known, as Earth's... Anyone know what they're known as? Earth's sort of, it's a body part that we really, really need. Earth's lungs. The reason being, trees produce the oxygen that we need. They are life-giving to everything around them. Did you know that actually there was an experiment in 1971 to see if we could grow trees in space? NASA actually thought that it was very, very important to know this, and so they sent several trees or seedlings up into orbit to see if they would grow. Apparently they did. Did you know also that they're able to communicate and defend themselves against insects? Some trees can actually flood their leaves with chemicals that put off insects, but just at those right times. And actually, whenever we find trees, we find them actually holding up everything around them. When we were hunting for a house a while back, we found this lovely house that we really, really liked, but there was a massive tree in the just on the back of the garden that would have caused a problem, and it had a protection order on it. Now, at the time, we were quite bothered by this because we really liked the house but didn't like the idea of the tree coming up underneath it. But actually, it had a protection order because that tree was holding up the whole bank leading down onto a road behind it. And actually, when we remove trees from an area, the whole area becomes unstable. And so it's no accident that we have this metaphor of a tree right in the middle of the psalm we're looking at this morning. Perhaps we could move on through the PowerPoint. So the verse we're looking at is that person, or in some translations it'll say the man. But man in Hebrew in this particular context could be anybody. It could be a woman as well. So the NIV translates it that person. So if we keep moving through, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And that's Psalm 1, verse 3. And if I could challenge you to commit a verse to memory, this would be one of them. Can we move on just one more? So this is the whole verse that we have. And down at the front here, we're busily assembling the verse. Phil's sat cross-legged on the floor, poking string through holes. So in a moment, we'll have a little banner. Guys, if you want to decorate that afterwards and hang it up somewhere in the church, ask someone first. But it would be a really good thing to do. We're going to move on again because we've sort of thought of this promise, haven't we? And when we go through life, if we know Jesus as our Saviour, if we are a Christian, we can stand on promises. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 1 in your Bibles, we're just going to have a little bit of a think, I think, about the meaning of this and what it can do in our lives, how it can apply. You see, I've introduced you already this morning to one person that's in Psalm 1. There's a righteous and blessed person in Psalm 1, who is a person who is like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth fruit in season, whose leaf doesn't wither, and everything they do prospers. But in this psalm, and if we go back to Timothy, in Crete, there was another type of person. In fact, I would go so far as to argue that there are only two types of people in this world. And that's this second person. Let's read Psalm 1 again, just a moment. And we're going to have a think about the ideas that come from this scripture about life and about how we live our lives. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's just pray. Father God, as we just come to open your word now and to hear it, we ask that we would hear it not just with our ears, but with our hearts. That by your Holy Spirit you would apply Psalm 1, as you have done over thousands of years to the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we come to Psalm 1, initially we can read it and we can think, that's a lovely psalm, isn't it? So nice, and it sounds so wonderful, and I'd love to be like that tree. I'd love to be the person who is righteous, that it talks about. I'd love that to be me, and it just sounds so poetic, and the language is so rich, and then we move on. It's very easy, isn't it? And that comes for any scripture that sounds really, really nice. Particularly, there are some scriptures it's not so easy to switch off to. But Psalm 1 is one that we could very easily read, and if we read the Bible each day, then it could be one that we read and we go, oh, that's nice, and I'll carry on with my day. But Psalm 1 is not at the start of the book of Psalms in the Bible by accident. It is not the first psalm without thought. The Psalms were not randomly collected. And the book that we have today was in a very strategic order. And we come to Psalm 1 at the start because this should shape our thinking about everything else that comes next. A missionary guy called Paul Washer said this: "This is not some pie-in-the-sky philosophy written for those who want to dream about things. Psalm 1 is a psalm of wisdom. And it reads in a very similar manner to the book of Proverbs, which just comes after Psalms. There's a really simple model here. Follow God, seek him and his righteousness, and be blessed. Well, likewise, it talks about if you don't do that, then there will be a reckoning, a judgment, that there will be ultimately destruction in that. But let's have a think about these two characters for a moment that we have in this psalm. There are two types of people that we see. And we see this person who the psalm talks about as blessed. And we often lose the meaning of that word when we hear blessed, because actually we throw it around actually a little bit too much in today's culture. If you are someone that's on social media, I challenge you to type #blessed into Twitter and see what comes up, or #blessed. And it's a great thing. And sometimes you see Christians talking about things that went on in their lives that they can really praise God about. But to be honest, a lot of it is, it's on the level of, I went downstairs this morning and I realized we had bought my favorite cereal yesterday at Tesco. It's a word that's so devalued in today's culture. And it's almost just, it's one that we don't quite understand. So what does it mean then? What does it mean to be this blessed one in Psalm 1? Well, actually, the word doesn't just mean, positive, someone that's got things going for them. It means someone actually It speaks in the Hebrew to the heart. And actually, it translates more closely to something like happy and contented. And so we can actually read this as not blessed is the one, but content is the one. How many times in our lives can we honestly say that we are completely content? If we look inside ourselves, actually, can we say, I am content? I do not want anything else. How many times can I say that about myself? If I'm honest, when I read these verses and I realize that it's saying content is the one, I realize that sometimes in my heart I am not content. Now, I'm working on the principle that I'm probably not all that different to everybody else. And so it's a challenge for us, isn't it? Content is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And we have this other person who is in this psalm, this other type of person. And in the NIV, it translates it as the wicked. And at this point, we can miss the point. Because if we are to understand this psalm properly, we really have to understand who these people are. You see, if we look at some other translations and perhaps some closer translations, actually, it doesn't mean wicked. Because when we think about wicked, you know, in my mind, if you said to me, think of someone who is wicked, I would be thinking of someone sort of in the Bond villain type area. Or, you know, one of those, if you're into sort of your fantasy films, some sort of Dark Lord or something like that. Somebody terrible, aren't I? I'm thinking when I hear about someone that's wicked. But actually, some other versions of the Bible actually just translate it as something simpler. And it says ungodly. Well, what does ungodly mean? If I was ungodly, what would that mean about me? Well, actually, very simply, it means that my motivation is not towards God. And suddenly, that starts to hit us a bit closer to home, doesn't it? Because actually, we're losing that idea of our Bond villain who's desperately wicked and who we go, no, I'm nothing like that. And we're realizing that actually this psalm might have us on the wrong side of it. You see, actually, the Bible talks constantly about this idea that as human beings, we are corrupt, we are sinful, and we are selfish. And actually, let's have a little think about that. Because this first verse that we come to has an awful lot in there about our own hearts. So it talks about how blessed or content is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And actually, in some versions, it says walk in the counsel, take advice from those who don't take advice from the wicked, or sit in the company of mockers, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, let's have a think about mocking for a moment. I want you to have a think. Have you ever mocked something? What do we mean? We mean we make fun of something. Why do I make fun of an idea? Have you ever seen something that someone else has done, like on the phone call that I always seem to get? Have I ever decided to tear down somebody's idea? To ridicule somebody? If I have, why did I do that? Why did I choose to do that? You know, quite often I deal with children in the playground who will tease their friends. And sometimes it goes too far. Sometimes it's quite unkind. And we call that bullying, don't we? And sometimes children don't initially realize why they do it. And I have to explain to them why they do it. The problem is, when I explain to them why they do it, it's a very, very uncomfortable fact to learn. We mock people as human beings because we want to feel better about ourselves. We want to make ourselves bigger and our ego greater by pushing everybody else around us down. And we've all done that, haven't we? If we're honest. And so we have these two types of people. And the psalmist is not just wanting to create this nice song to be sung in a temple. He's wanting to cause us to look inside and see if there's something wrong. This psalm, before we come to the rest of this book full of praise and worship and deep emotion, is there to just make us stop and think. You see, actually, we then read a little bit more about this first person that's mentioned, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. And we see these two contrasts of people, and we need to think, what category are we falling into? Now, here's the key thing. We're in the 21st century, and that makes us incredibly privileged for lots of reasons. But I would go so far as to say that it makes us privileged because actually we have this whole book. Back when this psalm was written, they did not have that. We have this whole story. We have the whole of God's word in one place. And what that tells us is that actually we are not trapped in either of these in one of these categories. We are not trapped as being the people who are mocking in this psalm. We are actually offered freely the gift of being like that blessed one. You know, I would really recommend this book. It's by a guy called Tim Keller, and it takes you through the Psalms. And I really like just to read you something that comes from his commentary on Psalm 1. It's just a really powerful, powerful section. See, Christians have their attitude toward God changed from one of duty to free, loving, self-giving because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So to know how to meditate on and delight in the Bible is the secret to a relationship with God and to life itself. I couldn't have said it better, so I thought I'd read it. You see, if you, at the start of this psalm, want to be like the blessed one there, you need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. We're told in Romans that actually, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And actually, when we see Scripture in the light of the New Testament, you've been reading Titus, the blessed one here is not somebody who is morally upright under their own steam. And we read in verse 2, they are morally upright because their delight is in the law of the Lord. And they meditate on his law day and night. Now, for you and I, maybe you have made that decision to accept Christ into your life, to give him the lordship, to put him first. Maybe you have taken that decision. But you can't say that this psalm completely applies to you. Well, actually, this psalm provides some really, really helpful things to transform our Christian lives. You know, when we read in verse 2, those who delight in the law of the Lord, it talks about a deep enjoyment. And we say that actually, when we come to God, it should be something of delight. You know, if you want, as a church here, to make the most of Christ in this community, it is going to come from you guys delighting in him. John Piper, an author and pastor in the US, says that actually God is most glorified when his people delight in him the most. And actually, if you are someone that wants to be Christ-like, it has to start with you delighting in God. With you saying, I want to find out more. I want to get into this book. I want to pray. I want to know him better. I want to be closer to him. But the thing is, that's not always easy, is it? Because it's very easy to be distracted. It's very easy to have everything get in the way. But to quote Paul Washer, that I quoted at the start again, your discipline, if you stick with this, will turn into delight. If you are dragging through yourself through a Bible reading plan, if you are choosing to read God's word on a daily basis, but it's really hard work, sometimes at this point somebody will tell you, well, you shouldn't be finding it really hard work. You should just start delighting immediately. No, it's not what life's like, is it? But keep going. Keep going. And your delight will come. And there's a reminder of how it comes at the end of verse 2. He who meditates on God's law day and night. You know, in the Hebrew, actually, meditates doesn't mean meditates. When we think about meditation, we think about sitting cross-legged on the floor, possibly on some kind of mountaintop, don't we? In Hebrew, it means something very different. It means to mumble to oneself, to talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. It's just how I think. And one of the ways in which we are told that we will delight in God is telling ourselves about him. You know, if the only preaching that you hear comes from this pulpit on every Sunday morning, then you will not delight in God as much as you could. You see, you have this to take home, and you can mumble about it to yourself all week. And the psalmist here is saying, that's the key. Just ongoing, letting God's word change you, asking his spirit to apply it to your life. And there's this amazing promise that we have had here. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And I'm going to close on this, because actually the rest of the psalm talks about the opposite of that. We're going to be striving for the positive here. One thing about trees and fruit. If you are a Christian, you live a Christ-centered life, and you do things for God's glory, not your own. And this metaphor of a tree has one more thing to give us. And it's a spiritual health check again. Lots of these in this psalm. We're only three verses in. Trees don't eat their own fruit, do they? So when you see a big oak tree, we were watching a program called Wild France the other day, and it had this massive oak tree, and it had all of the animals that came and fed from the oak tree. The oak tree is only concerned with getting its fruit out there. It doesn't eat it itself. You know, it's actually the life-giving fruit that affects everybody else. You know, as a church, when you delight, and as Christians, when you delight in God and you are planted like a tree, you will start to affect people around you. And you will start to give them what they need, to be Christ-like. If we were to dump this back into Titus again, Paul was dealing with this issue of selfishness in Crete. Their luxury society was all about them. And the message he needed to get across was, it's not about you. It's about Christ, and it's about focusing on him, putting him first, and being fruitful to those around you. We're going to leave it there, and we're going to pray. We're going to ask God's blessing on what we've heard, and we're going to sing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have heard. We thank you for this amazing psalm, and Lord, we ask that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would make it our motto, that, Lord, it would not be something that we forget in an hour's time, but something that changes our hearts over years. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.